ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
At a rural picnic spot in the dark, a young man suddenly disappears.
You could nearly say an alien took him away because he's just vanished.
When more clues from that night surface, something doesn't sit right.
It's nonsensical where the stuff is. It's been scattered.
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
Is it a murder? Is it someone just gone missing?
You know where my son is.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Donald Trump has compared it to the Eiffel Tower, and he's pondering whether a UFC fighting cage could become a permanent fixture on the South Lawn at the White House after a fight takes place there on his 80th birthday. Today, Sally Jenkins from The Atlantic magazine on Trump's deep links to the UFC that continue to shape his politics and why we should all be deeply concerned by it. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Sally, on the White House lawn right now, a huge octagonal structure is being erected for cage fighting. And normally you'd think if someone said that, it would have been a joke of some sort. But, well, not in Trump's world, right?
Oh, no. I mean, this is classic, you know, despoiling of norms. The previously unthinkable has become the order of the day.
Okay, so the cage, which will have a star-spangled arch over it, it's sitting on the South Lawn with a UFC fight to take place on Donald Trump's 80th birthday, which is on June the 14th, which happens, Sally, to coincide with the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States. I mean, you really couldn't make this stuff up.
You know, it's so peculiar because there's a real undercurrent in this administration of trying to sort of redefine American manhood. Mm. One of the things I've said is that Trump specializes in stolen valor. You know, he didn't serve, and yet he'll call generals incompetence. And, you know, he sort of seems to reserve the right to define what strength is and what manhood is. He has said that NFL football is becoming sissy. He loves fender bending, stock car races. I mean, there's a real vein of exaltation in physical violence and physical bullying in this administration. And it's not subtle, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he says that the tickets for this fight are in huge demand.
I have never seen anybody want anything so much as people want those tickets. It's a one-of-a-kind UFC.
And, oh my gosh, the Pentagon is even selecting U.S. soldiers to make an appearance.
But not fat ones. They can't
yes.
be fat.
Fit
yeah.
ones.
They can't be tubby.
They must be fit, they must appear in their uniform, but they must also pay their own way.
Well, it's pretty ironic because the latest medical report on the president is that he's gained about 14 pounds in the last few months, so.
Right. Sally, let's turn to the politics of this then and just consider that more deeply. Now, I'm guessing just before we move on that most people have a vision of what this sport is, but perhaps you could just give me a quick reminder of what you're watching.
You're watching crotch kicking, bare-knuckled brawling, anything goes, you know, squeezing the throat of an opponent. So Ultimate Fighting, it combines like jiu-jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, grappling. Over the years, they've imposed some sorts of rules. You can't literally go for a guy's eyeballs, but short of that, pretty much anything else goes. I mean, it's very bloodthirsty, very kind of brutal, primal exercise.
And the UFC's president, Dana White, he and Donald Trump have a very close relationship, don't they?
They go way, way back. I mean, I think without Donald Trump, Dana White would not have built his business. Donald Trump was the first guy to offer large venues for these sorts of matches. They have a long history as business partners and enablers.
And in recent weeks, Donald Trump has even hosted UFC fighters in the Oval Office.
It's going to be
June 14th, and it's going to be great. And this is a little different for these political people. And but these are real warriors. When we talk about warriors, these are warriors.
So, Sally, as you say, it simply is just a really very violent sport. And you argue that more and more Donald Trump has been borrowing his political style from the UFC. And now that really began when he was campaigning in 2016, didn't it?
Well, I think his political style, his verbal style is very much ultimate cage match. You know, I don't think anyone had seen a debater or a public speaker who broke the norms of political speech the way he did. And people took that as authenticity. Whether it is or isn't is up to the viewer and the voter. But that was his initial strategy. He said things other people weren't willing to say. And, you know, he provoked sharp intakes of breath, you know, lock her up and things like that. You know, it's one thing to have a political rivalry or a political, you know, a vehement political race. It's another thing to say your opponent should be jailed, right? He's always had a crotch-kicking style as a politician, and he's also no dope about audiences. I mean, this is a guy who, again, has been a great theatrical presenter of events for a long, long time in American society, whether it's his television show, The Apprentice, or whether it's staging large events from beauty pageants to boxing matches at his casinos. And, you know, Ultimate Fighting viewership has sort of gotten into the mainstream. There's about 7 million households that watch it for these large-scale events. Mm. And so that's a significant chunk of a constituency.
And Melania Trump, when she was campaigning for him in 2016, she did note, you know, when you attack him, he will punch you back 10 times harder.
As you may know by now, when you attack him, he will punch back 10 times harder.
I think that's right. I think that's what he does. If you come at him, he's going to come back 10 times harder. And, you know, there's a strategy, let's say, in, you know, let's think about basketball for a minute. There's some teams like the Detroit Pistons that had a tradition of being known as sort of fouling on almost every play because the assumption was, well, the refs can't call all of them. And their strategy was they would raise the threshold of violence in the game. And I think that that has been a significant observable trend in Trump's political behavior. And I think that one of the reasons that he's putting a Ultimate Fighting match on the White House lawn is because it does raise the threshold of, you know, what people will accept and what people consider a norm.
Well, Donald Trump, he styles himself as the ultimate fighter by the sound of it. And I presume particularly among MAGA voters, that's quite an attractive proposition. Did it help him, do you think, win the 2024 election?
I do, because I think it speaks to people who may feel some sense of grievance, right? Or some sense of marginalization, or some sense of being called stupid by half of the country's politicians. There is this almost sort of vengeance in some of this. And so if you're aggrieved in any way by the sort of elitism of the opposite party, then I think this stuff might really, really speak to you.
And a big win was really given to Donald Trump, wasn't it, ahead of the 2024 election, when Dana White, the UFC head, secured him a spot on the Joe Rogan podcast.
David, you know Elon Musk, yes. He endorsed me. By the way, he gave me the nicest endorsement, too. The toughest. He said, the country's going to fail. You should do the same thing, Joe, because you cannot be voting for Kamala. Kamala, you're not a Kamala person. I know you.
Yeah, the Rogan podcast, all of the stuff that goes quite viral. I mean, obviously, there's an appetite for it. So Ultimate Fighting, it commands the fascination of literally millions of young men. And I think he used it quite effectively in 2024 to register younger male voters and win their votes. Mm. Okay. So, I mean, I think that it is a legit factor in his political power. I don't think it's trivial, you know, what he's doing here. I think Dana White understands maybe more than almost anybody that it's not trivial.
And is he trying to do it again then ahead of the midterms, you know, with this display on the White House lawn?
I mean, I think that there is certainly an attempt to convey, if you cross me, you know, you're going to get a punch in the mouth, or you're going to get investigated by the FBI. I mean, Trump's FBI director, Kash Patel, is a huge Ultimate Fighting fan, and he said that he wants to partner with Ultimate Fighting to develop training programs for federal agents. I mean, the first Ultimate Fighting, its initial marketing slogan was no rules. And I think that that very much appealed to Trump, because playing by the rules wasn't getting him a great deal of sort of respect in Manhattan society circles. He was treated as a bit of a joke. And the first 1993 Ultimate Fighting card, it promised that they would fight until knockout, submission, doctor's intervention, or death.
Gosh.
Right? Like I say, there's nothing subtle about this stuff. And to treat it as subtle is to sort of miss the point. It's a very, very brutal exercise being used by a political brute.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I guess the question now is, though, whether young male voters will still be convinced by this. I mean, even Joe Rogan, he isn't as supportive of Trump anymore. He still likes the idea of this UFC fight at the White House. He was talking about this on his podcast.
I think it's awesome that Trump, this is one of the things that I like about him. He's like, it, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
He puts on cage fights on the White House lawn. Yeah. That's nuts.
But he does not like the Iran war very much.
Shit. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
too.
That part. I don't like the Iran war thing, but I like that.
You know, I mean, can people still be convinced by this persona?
That's such a good question. I think everybody would love to know the answer to that question. Look, I've spent most of my life writing about sports, not politics.
Yes.
But I do think that Donald Trump is sort of this nexus of the two. And I think that his approach to politics is very, very rooted in his competitive sports tastes and instincts. And I think that Democrats could be kidding themselves if they think they're not in for a real hell of a fight in the midterms.
Mm.
I'm not so sure that the Iran war is going to turn off a lot of people who were attracted to an event that literally has no rules. And as John McCain once called it, it's human cockfighting. You know, John McCain, the great Republican senator who died of brain cancer, he wanted to have Ultimate Fighting banned altogether.
Mm.
And while McCain is trying to have it banned, Trump was hosting events at his New Jersey casino when it was still illegal in most states, actually.
All right, well, Sally, as you say, Donald Trump has fashioned himself as a UFC fighter in the way he approaches politics. But, you know, that in your view is deeply concerning because you think it's not just about influencing voters.
Well, I think that it is about thresholds, normalizing violence, dulling the senses, lessening the shock value. I mean, these are things that historically have not led to great outcomes politically. When you have a government actor who is slowly but surely eroding the public's sense of decency and playing by the rules, that tends not to turn out well. You know, savagery on the grounds of the White House is not a great sign. That's just my opinion, okay? And no matter how you try to impose some form on it, Ultimate Fighting, it's still perfectly legal to choke an opponent to the point of blacking out or to beat their faces bloody while they're already on the mat, okay? So, you know, what are we going to see on the White House lawn?
Well, Sally, on social media, Donald Trump has floated the idea of never taking the fighting arena down from that White House lawn.
In Paris, France, the Eiffel Tower, 1889, it was built. It was supposed to be taken down immediately after the World's Fair. And then they said, you know, we sort of like it. Well, they never took it down. And, you know, we're building something in front of the White House that's quite attractive to a lot of people. It's going to have the big UFC fight on June 14th. And I'm looking at it and maybe we'll never, ever take it down.
But surely no.
Well, you know, he also paved over the Rose Garden and knocked down the entire East Wing. He has a taste for a certain amount of destruction, and that's what Ultimate Fighting also appeals to. You know, about 7 million Americans kind of regularly watch Ultimate Fighting, but 30 million Americans define themselves as interested in Ultimate Fighting. Again, I just can't say that I think these are bad people or anything, but I just think they're being appealed to on a very sort of primal, bare-fisted level. You know, all of this presents the opponent with a dilemma, right? So how do you deal with a bare-knuckled brawler and a crotch kicker? Do you abandon your old practices and your old rules and begin competing on their terms? Or do you try to adhere to your own values? at risk of being mauled. How do you fight and how do you defend without losing yourself and your conception of who you want to be and what you want the contest to be? That is the real question that I think everyone is anxious to see in the midterm elections and in the next presidential election.
Sally Jenkins is a staff writer at The Atlantic. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Monday. Thanks for listening.